Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 2 of the Riot Pod podcast. Podcast where Sarah and I answer your questions, but we're not actually answuring.
Yes, we are.
Well, yeah, sure. Well, yeah.
Alex doesn't think they count if they weren't answered on social media.
Well, I asked for a bunch of questions, and we have a bunch of questions, but none of the ones that came in via the original ask are in this episode.
It still counts. It's still a question.
Sure, yeah. A question that came in privately.
Why are we arguing?
The theme of today's episode is marriage. Marriage is what brings us together today. Marriage, that Wesley
okay,
arrangement.
Okay, that's enough. We're good.
That dweeb.
No.
With the dweeb.
Okay. That's good. Yeah, we have a number of our young friends who are getting married, and one of them said, would you talk about being married, and how do you make it great to be married? And I think the first myth I'd just like to dispel is that it's always been great, because it hasn't always been great.
Yeah. Yeah, she's been in some trouble.
Oh, it's all me. It's all me. No, marriage is...
Sure, the first part about that is marriage is a lot of effort and requires good humor.
It does. That would be one of the top things we would say would make a good marriage, is you have to be able to laugh at yourself. It's not wise to only laugh at your partner. That's not good humor in a marriage if you're only laughing at your partner. Although it's really hard not to laugh at your partner when he shaves his face into weird shapes all the time and has ridiculous haircuts and holes in the armpits of his t-shirts. Like right now, you have a hole in the armpit of your t-shirt.
Because I'm a professional.
Yes, you are. So great. Seriously, though, it is not good to always be laughing at your partner, but it is always good to be laughing. Always. So one of the things that we like to do for newlyweds is we like to give them
tools
to fight, and but fight well. And so we will often gift water guns or Nerf guns to newlyweds so that they can fight fair with rules, because you should never shoot at an unarmed opponent.
So keep it loaded and keep it hidden so that any moment you can draw it when you need to. More often, though, we're giving Nerf over water guns since the incident.
The incident.
Well, there's been a few. We would have full-on water fights inside the house and then involve the children and occasionally use them as shields and or manipulate them into hiding with buckets of water.
I would like to make it very clear that Alex would involve the children and manipulate them into using buckets of water.
If you ask our children, you will hear stories from both sides.
I don't think that's the important part of the story. On this particular occasion, I was being chased down the hallway with a child with a bucket. And the incident happened to happen when I was pregnant with Shiloh. I was very pregnant. And there was water on our linoleum hallway floor. And I slipped and ended up with a concussion. Which was very interesting to explain to ER nurses and doctors.
Yeah, no, and I did not abuse my wife. We were having a water fight in the house. it's kind of a.
Yeah. I think it would have been fine if I hadn't also just ended up in the hospital from falling off of the cat post to put the TV up on that shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah. At that point, I had a few injuries when I was pregnant with Shiloh. And so by this point, they're like, we're just going to separate you and ask you some questions. Anyways, eventually they did believe us that we were only having a water fight in the house. So we do recommend Nerf guns over water guns if you are going to battle in the house.
Mostly.
This is really good marriage advice, guys. Follow us for more tips. Yeah. In all seriousness, no, but communication is probably one of the most important parts about staying married, about being able to be happily married instead of grudgingly married. Knowing that you are being heard, that you're being listened to, that you are known is so important for all of us, I think, as individuals. But having the capacity to really understand your partner and do your best to listen is really important.
And making sure that you solve problems before they become big problems. And so often resentment builds up because something is going a certain direction over and over again, or a pattern is emerging. And then you let it build up for a while, and then it comes out all at once. The problem with certain individuals is they are less emotionally intelligent than other people and don't necessarily know when they are building resentments. And so I've actually had to build a system of check-ins with myself in order to make sure that I understand and that I'm communicating with me so that I can communicate with my partner, who understands usually my motivations better than I do. So it's a, yeah. So some of us have extra challenges in these regards.
But that's a really great point. Like, when you let something build up and then you're the one who explodes and you feel really angry about a really small thing, but you've been trying to, quote unquote, let it roll off your back for too long, it's your responsibility that you're so upset. It's not actually your partner's, because they never knew. So being able to communicate when you're frustrated or when you don't like something is really important. And this is hard for some people. It's especially if you're a newlywed and you want everything to be good. You don't want everything to be wrong, and you don't want to nitpick. So you're finding that balance between not nitpicking but not letting everything roll off your shoulders too much is a really important skill to learn.
An especially big area to communicate about is about the bedroom, because one of the most important parts of a relationship is physical intimacy. And so not just having the sex, but talking about the sex is also important.
The sex.
The sex.
The sex. Excellent. We'll save more
we'll have to
advice and tips about the sex for another podcast.
An after hours episode.
An after hours episode with some like smooth jazz in the background.
Sure.
Excellent. No, but seriously, like, that's a great opportunity to communicate, because if you can talk about the sex, if you can be honest about what you like, what you don't like, there, it's such great practice for being vulnerable in other places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which segues to a whole other topic of have fun together. It's one of those things that people don't necessarily think about often. They want to have romantic dates, and they'll have their set aside time for dinner or together or whatever, but actually laughing together, playing games together, having interests of common interest that are just plain fun is one of the best ways to actually build trust and build intimacy in a relationship, have a desire to actually want to hang out with your partner, is just by doing fun stuff together. And unfortunately, sometimes you have divergent interests in life. Sarah and I are very different people. And so we actually have to cultivate things that we enjoy to do together. And so I occasionally will get drug out dancing and still have a good time and make sure I do my best to enjoy the time when we have that, even if I don't want to do it all the time. And Sarah is willing to let the kids get her into Minecraft and play video games with us and that kind of stuff too.
This is what happens when you get married before you're an adult and you don't know what your interests are. Then you have a partner where you don't share a lot of interests. So it is interesting. So I would say on top of that, trying new things together that neither of you have tried before, mm-hmm, is a really great way to build intimacy and fun and good communication. Just randomly doing weird stuff.
Yeah. So we VR or escape room or buy the Ed Challenge adventure book that gives you a random scratch off that you have to do within the hour or whatever, and do random art things or
go paddleboarding or,
yep,
get a dog only one of you wants and learn to love it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't suggest the not getting a dog that you don't necessarily want, but that's a large commitment.
You love the dog.
I'm saying this is not a decision for all people.
You're having so much fun with her.
Sometimes. Also having all the frustrations with her, but that's a whole other podcast.
This dog has been very good for our marriage, even if Alex doesn't know that yet.
Oh, okay.
I think the other thing that's super important about communication is giving your partner the benefit of the doubt. And if you have ever done any premarital counseling with Alex or I, you've heard this story before. So I'll tell it for those that might not have. We were here for about 2 years in Kelowna, and we're originally from Cranbrook. And we weren't able to go back home, and I was so sad, and there wasn't a big family dinner, and there wasn't tons of people coming over, and I'm so used to like big community. And so I said to Alex, we don't usually get each other a lot of presents. And I said, can you get me a present for Christmas? And he's like, sure. And I was like, I need to feel known. Can you really think about it and get me like a really good present for Christmas? And he goes, sure. What do you want? And I was like, no, that defeats the purpose. Like, I want you to get me, I just need to feel known. I feel anonymous here. And so Alex and I opened presents privately on Christmas Eve, which was probably wise that we did not do this in front of the children.
Even though she tells the story publicly and in front of our children and in...
Well, because it resolved well.
Okay, sure.
So it's fine. The resolution is good. I still have this gift. So we open the gifts and Alex, of course, is like, oh my gosh, this speaker that's Bluetooth or something. I don't know. It was electronic things I got him. He's like, this is great. I was like, I know, I'm a good gift giver. And then I opened Alex's present and he's noticed the look on my face and says, you don't like it. And I was like, these are hideous. Telling him this story to my mother later, she is absolutely appalled that I called a gift hideous. But that's how you don't get bad gifts over and over again with your spouse, is you let them know how you really feel. That was probably not the best way to let him know how I really feel. But I was in shock because I was expecting something that made me feel known. And instead, I got these dusty rose colored slippers with like chunky, like super old teddy bear fluff all around them and like a really high ankle and this pink piping with pom-poms at the end of them. And they were at least three sizes too big for my feet. And in my head, like before I could say anything, I was thinking, he doesn't know me at all. Like, how long is this marriage even going to last? We've been married for over a decade. He doesn't even know that I have tiny feet. Everyone knows I have tiny feet. Everyone knows I don't like weird pink things. These are so ugly. I was so sad because I just thought this meant, I mean, I was probably also hormonal or something because this is crazy. But I was like, my husband does not know me. This is the beginning of the end. And I'm so glad in that moment. I totally think it was a Holy Spirit moment that I had the wherewithal to say, can you just tell me how you got here? To which my husband said,
that you hate having cold feet. You always complain about having cold feet, but yet you hate wearing socks. You call socks foot prisons. And so I thought if it's a larger and looser, that it could be tied around her ankle so that we are affixed to her foot still, but not be a foot prison, that she could have warm feet in the house. That she may not like certain colors or whatever, but I didn't think she was so shallow that she would... she was the kind of person who says that utility is more important than what something looks like. But apparently in this case I was mistaken.
He's being sassy right now. He did not at all refer to me being shallow. What he said was, I know, Sarah, that deep down that more important to you than what things look like is how they function, which is true. That's the person I desire to be. And when I am my best self, I am. And he also reminded me that I was sick. Like for a whole bunch of that fall. And our roommates kept telling me to wear socks. And I kept saying, no, because they're foot prisons. And Alex said, I want you to not have to be lying around all the time because I know you like to be energetic. And so I wanted to get this for you.
Yep. They also went to the store and I checked like three or four stores and stuck my hand inside of every single set of slippers in the store to find the softest, most comfortable pair, which is why they looked like a beat up old granny, what do you call them? Teddy bear fluff?
they look like teddy bear vomit is what they look like. Old grandma teddy bear vomit. Now, to be very clear, I think we can both agree this was, in the end, a terrible gift, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I tried to wear them a little bit, and like, you slide around in slippers that are too big for you. Like, I would have broken my neck at some point, for sure. So they were a bad gift. However, what I asked for was I needed to feel known. And by asking the question, can you tell me how he got here? Instead of making assumptions, Alex was able to show me that not only does he know me and care about me, but he actually knows like the deepest version of me. And I think that's pretty incredible. And so I still have these slippers. I'll never get rid of them because they are...
great sermon bait.
They are great sermon bait. But they're also such a good reminder that our assumptions so often cause our conflict. That it's not intentions that cause conflict. It is so often misunderstanding and assumptions. So it's so good to clarify when you're upset or when you're offended or, you know, when you feel slighted, to actually be curious and ask questions, because maybe that person was actually trying really hard and they just missed the mark.
Yep. So assume the best. And then embedded in that whole story was also the honesty of the feedback. If she were just to put on a fake smile and say, "Oh, I love them," and she would then break a feedback mechanism where I can learn from that experience and actually buy her things she prefers and get better at giving her gifts, because she can actually say, "This is a horrible gift." And so by learning to do that well, to be honest with grace
your gift was terrible and I lacked grace. Like we both had a little bit of failure in that moment.
But there's ways to communicate and be completely honest with each other so that you can actually change behaviors and not just endure something someone does over and over and over again. Because again, this is a lifelong thing. This is a...
We are trapped.
We are committed.
We're stuck.
So one of the things that we say frequently now, it was a surprise the first time we said it, actually. But
we.
I said. But
Alex says.
So for us, divorce is out of the picture. Murder, maybe not, but divorce is out of the picture. And so... we are stuck for the rest of our lives in this particular
arrangement. I'm so afraid after we've told the story about like the doctors being concerned about you. And now you're talking about murdering me. Like people who don't know us might get concerned.
No, I said us. And it's more likely that you're going to murder me in my sleep.
I would never do that. I'm a pacifist.
Yeah, sure. I'm more of a pacifist, I'm sure.
I am never aggressive. That's a joke. I'm aggressive. And I'm a very competitive, aggressive person. It's real.
And part and parcel with honesty is also accountability. And so we give each other our passwords to our emails and social media. It's one of those things where Sarah will every once in a while just scroll through messages on my phone.
Oh, let's be clear. I am never worried Alex is cheating on me. That is not why. I'm scrolling through messages on his phone because people tell him about parties and like lunches they'd like to have, and he completely forgets to tell me. And I think it was only a few weeks ago that after church, I was like, "Okay, guys, we got to go." And another couple was like, "Oh, you guys are staying for lunch." And Alex had never told me. Like, what's going on your phone if your partner can't see it? I should say, though, in that we also share bank accounts. Like, I get that there's reasons why somebody might want to, you know, keep things to themselves. But I always wonder, yeah, how much do you trust each other if you can't share those things, right? So,
yeah, we also do have our own lives, our own selves. And so Sarah has friends that she hangs out with on her own. I have friends that I hang out with on my own. We have our own individuality. So we're not everything is shared. Not everything is mutual. Not everything is overlapped. But it's all open. It's all in conversation. It's all in communication.
Yeah. So nothing's hidden, but not everything is shared.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, one more. I think we should talk about the fact that we have been lifelong learners. So we got married when I was 8 months pregnant, 17.
I was 21.
No, you were 20.
Sorry, math. I was 20.
Wow. Alex was 20. And we were so young and we were starting with a baby and we knew darn well we had no idea what we were doing. And so we went to everything. We went to workshops and marriage retreats and we read the books.
And with parenting as well as marriage, like both sides of it, we filled the gap by trying to figure out as much as we could, as fast as we could. And that never really slowed down. We still read marriage books. We still are into, even like Sarah and I both are into psychology and all that sort of stuff, and pull out of the latest John Gottman literature and that kind of stuff too. And so,
well, and even now, I mean, you never stop, right? You never stop trying to figure out what the next growth cycle is, right? So for us, you know, our kids are grown, and the last 3 years or so, that's begun to be a real challenge because we are experiencing that incredibly differently.
Yep. I like space.
Yeah. You're enthused about this.
Yeah. This is going to be a fun stage of life for us, for on my side, but Sarah is a little bit more agitated and a little more...
I'm not a quiet, still person. I love lots of energy and lots of people, and I am on the extreme end of extrovert. Whereas Alex really likes to be in his own head and be learning. And so it's going to be interesting to figure out what does marriage look like for us now that our kids have their own lives and they're doing their own things, and we are alone in the house a lot.
Mm-hmm. With Sarah's dog.
With our dog that you love.
But one thing to keep in mind when reading marriage books or parenting books is that they're designed for the average person. And there's no such thing as the average person. And so most people are average in most ways, but there's always eccentric parts of every couple, of every relationship, of every family. We are just having to be the extreme edge of that and seem to be eccentric in almost all areas of marriage and family life. And so you have to take the principle that they're laying down and not necessarily the application that they draw from it. And so when we are going through marriage material, often we have to gender swap the advice because who we are, we don't have necessarily have the same standard roles in our life or relationship or in the way we parent. And sometimes that role changes over time, where Sarah started as the stay-at-home mom, and then we spend a season where I was the stay-at-home dad. And it's just, it's different. It's,
And those things for sure affect you. Like, and you don't even really understand how they affect you or your partner, ever, even with communication. I remember when you became a stay-at-home dad, I remember coming home from work and I was exhausted and I didn't want to talk to anybody and I needed a minute and I was just going to drop my stuff and go for a walk. And you met me at the door and you were like getting ready to leave and we got mad at each other. Do you remember this?
Yes, totally.
Yeah. And so I was like, you don't understand. I've had a really long day.
I've had these kids all day. They've been in my hair. Like, I just need a minute to get...
Yeah, you don't get what this is like. And then we stopped and we started laughing because we realized we both totally understood.
We've been in this argument before from the other side.
Yeah, it was quite an eye opener. And it was interesting because that was kind of the first time I realized, like, sometimes the only way forward is that someone does lose, right? Like, only one of us could have the moment that we needed in that moment. And so figuring out how to do that is tricky when you recognize that there's moments when compromise doesn't even work, right? Like, yep. It's like, no, one of us is going to win and one of us is going to lose in this moment. And so you kind of got to make sure it evens out over time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you can't rely on rock, paper, scissors to solve it.
No, especially if you cheat at rock, paper. You can't
cheat at rock, paper, scissors.
You can. If you manipulate someone's psychology and psych them out all the time, you can cheat at rock, paper, scissors.
It's not how it works. And then also, if you don't actually abide by the rock, paper, scissors, then it doesn't make any sense to do it in the first place.
Nobody has ever not abided by rock, paper, scissors in this house.
That's not...
No. There might be a plea for a 3 out of 5, but nobody doesn't abide.
There's been complete wholesale...
No, there has not been. We abide by rock, paper, scissors. Name one time.
I don't have an episodic memory.
I know, you don't know. So you can't name anything. There's no evidence. Case dismissed. And I think this is a great place to end our discussion about marriage.
All right. Tune in next time for actual questions from the actual social media stuff. We'll probably tackle parenting next episode, I'm guessing. Is that right? Parenting questions?
I don't know. This whole gig was your idea.
Yeah, but you keep choosing the topic every round.
You know what? This is a conversation for not on the air.
Bye.
Bye.